You know, Jesus warned us that in the end times, deception like a virus will spread like wildfire. Disguised as the answer to all our problems, our secular culture can only offer replacements to the truth. The good news is that the truth of the Bible is the cure. In Pastor Jack Hibbs' new book called Living in the Days of Deception, he reveals the antidote to the lies we're told that have become increasingly harder to detect. From the inspiring foreword written by Mike Pompeo to the final chapters, Pastor Jack exposes how to combat deceptive spirits and equips us when we're deceived by the ultimate liar, Satan himself. Living in the Days of Deception by Jack Hibbs is a powerful must-read, and when you order, you can bundle by getting the DVDs and a downloadable link for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/radio. That's jackhibbs.com/radio. Real Life presents the Jack Hibbs Podcast with intention and boldness to proclaim truth, equip the saints, and impact our culture.
Here's the deal. Deciding to follow him because he is who he is. It's not that you go to this church or that church. That's irrelevant. But the joy, the power, the freedom is knowing him and knowing that he knows you. And when he leads you, it is a constant dynamic of a Christian life.
You can get the outlines of this podcast by going to jackhibbs.com/podcast. Today, if this podcast lifts you up and encourages you to live a more fulfilled life in Christ, then make sure you leave us one of those 5-star ratings. To us, that's like saying amen or yes. Then that rating will encourage others to listen. Now open your hearts to what God's Word has to say to you. Here is Jack Hibbs.
If you are a follower of Jesus Christ today, and Jesus put it this way, if you've been born again, God is going to work with you until the very end of your life, or I should say, until your body comes to the end of its life. That's when you begin your real life. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 10, Jesus said it to them this way. He says, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren that I go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Jesus rose again from the dead, and he tells, both the angels announce it and Christ announce it, that I'm going to Galilee. I'll meet you 90 miles from here. I'm getting out of Jerusalem. I'm heading back to the country. I'm going up to the Galilee, just south of the Syrian-Lebanese border. I'll meet you guys there. What is he announcing? He's saying, I'm leading. Friends, listen, God leads. He always goes ahead of us if we're willing to follow. He'll go ahead. In Psalm 23, who doesn't love Psalm 23? Hallmark loves the 23rd Psalm. But do we know what it says? Psalm 23, verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He guides me. The Lord wants to guide you because you are not only in his family. Listen up, everybody. He's responsible for you. I love that. Listen, personally, I remind God about that a lot. No, really, I'm not being funny or cute about it. When something is insurmountable to me, impossible to me, or something's coming against me and I'm under attack, I always remind him, God, I didn't ask for this position. I never asked you for it. I didn't ask for this church. I didn't ask you to fill the seats. I didn't ask you to put us up front and out there. So God, listen, you got a problem on your hands. And I'm looking to you to fix it. And I pray that prayer with him because I want to follow him. But if I'm going to follow him, listen, he's responsible for taking care of me because he announces to the disciples, I'm going ahead to the Galilee. I'll see them there. I will lead you beside still waters. I will bring you comfort. All of these great promises God has given you and I. And listen, check your heart. Every one of the promises that God gives us, they're exactly what the doctor ordered. I love that. I don't appreciate doctors who just write prescriptions. I'm sorry if that's you. I'm not going to your office. I don't like a doctor who walks into the room and I'm there and he doesn't even look at me. He's looking at the chart. He never looks. And then he writes, here, you can get this filled at the pharmacy downstairs. Forget it. Man, I want a doctor who comes in the room and puts on the gloves and grabs my tongue, pulls on my ears, and does all the other stuff we're not going to talk about. I want a doctor to find out how am I doing. I want him to tell me the truth even though I may not like it. If something's wrong, let's get on it quick. Let's get it fixed. But listen, a good doctor's got to look at you. He's got to touch you. He's got to see what's going on. And I love that about our God. He just doesn't write you a verse and say, you know, happily ever after. See you later. You know what? He touches you. He reaches out and he grabs you by the heart and by the mind. And he's real and he's alive. He rose again from the dead. He left an empty tomb in Jerusalem. And you should not settle for anything less but the living God. He's absolutely amazing. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Who said that? God did. When David was in fear of his life. Here's the deal. When the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, just know this. It's the now. He's with us now. To be absent from this body, the Bible says, is to be present with the Lord. When we walk through the hurt and the pain of this life, it's now. Christ says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. It's now. This is our, as a believer, this is the valley of the shadow of death for us in this world. It only gets brighter. It's amazing. I love it. To be led by the Holy Spirit. I have found this to be true anyway. My observation, one reporter's opinion, is that those who understand, they're not perfect. We're not perfect, but we know, Lord, you lead. We've learned over the years that when we're leading, we have a tendency to hit walls and bounce off guardrails and hit barricades. Sometimes we can get going so fast that Jesus is somewhere back there a few miles. The church at Ephesus did that, you know. They got so busy being a church that they forgot Jesus in their first love relationship. Is Jesus Christ literally the most active part of your living? Think about that. I'm not asking you to become some sort of weirdo, crazy person. I'm asking you to be honest with yourself. I just met somebody last service. They're IndyCar people, Indianapolis car, IndyCar. That's pretty cool stuff, right? I mean, I like that stuff. I think that's cool. But here's the great thing. The Indy world is somewhere down on a list of their life. Jesus is at the top. Unrivaled. Unrivaled. It's not like Indy passes Jesus sometimes and then Jesus passes Indy. No, he's at the top. And everything that they do comes out of that relationship. But that ought to be true for all of us. When we name the name of Jesus, who are we? And that is often defined, if not perfectly defined, by being led by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Bible says he has feelings. The Bible says that he thinks. The Bible says that he speaks. The Bible says that he can be offended. The Bible says that he can be our power. The Bible says that he can be our wisdom. And our guidance, the Holy Spirit, available, unlimited to every believer, led by the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. Get ready to write down a bunch of verses. Are you guys ready? You're very quiet. It troubles me greatly. And don't tell me, are you really, oh, Pastor, we're listening so close. Then what's with this? I can see you. I just want you to know. Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Wow. God spoke, and the physical universe was established, and all the host of them, the starry sky. By the breath of his mouth, verse 7, he gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. The word fear is to be in reverential awe, to be brought to that place, though, where you tremble at his word. It's incredible. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Isn't that awesome? It stood fast. His creative powers. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man, or happy, content. We actually, the word, you know the word welfare? The word welfare has a negative connotation to us today. That's the word blessed is well off or well faring. Farewell, we would say farewell. Farewell to the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't get your advice from dumb people. Nor stand in the path of sinners. Hey, there's some people you shouldn't hang around with. Your mom told you this at the earliest of ages. You know, when your mom said, stay away from that guy. Stay away from that girl. Yeah, there's a reason. God says, mm-mm. God loves you. You're in the family. He's trying to keep you safe. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. You know the people that sit around, they're just grumpy, griping all the time, chewing everybody. Everybody's wrong but them. They're it. Bible says, don't hang out with them. Don't even sit down there. You're going to get all bitter and bent out of shape. No need for that. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God. And in his law, he meditates day and night. It just simply means he's guided by the word of God. The Bible is in you, and so it's in your thoughts. Listen to what happens to that individual, happens to you, if you so choose. He, you, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's a beautiful sight. That brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Isn't that good news? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 6, verse 1. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ. Notice this, the author of Hebrews is speaking. Listen, let's stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead to becoming mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds, placing our faith in God. Listen how he just, these are all basics. You should know this by now. The instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, and so on. God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. How does it happen? By God leading us. Notice this, friend. Listen, everybody. This affects all of us. When God leads us, we are always growing. Our faith is becoming stronger, and your resolve. I'm looking for a word. As a Christian and as you're growing, you know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, the righteous can be as bold as lions. They speak up. They don't have to be afraid because their closet is clean. You know what I'm saying? And so they can be fearless. Listen, when you're being led by God, it's a very liberating experience. Many of you already know this. That's why you love the Bible, is that as you read it, God guides you. And then when somebody comes up and criticizes what you're doing, does it matter? It doesn't matter. Because you're being led by God. It doesn't mean that you're heartless, but you know what God has said. But the world's not going to understand that. Family is not going to understand that sometimes. Boy, I tell you, that's why, listen, any single people in here, listen, life is tough enough. Make sure you marry a believer. In fact, let me take that back. Marry a believer that you're impressed with their faith now, not their hopeful faith later.
Oh, he's so cute. I think I can turn him into a wonderful believer.
You know, how are you going to do that? It's not going to work. I'll change him. No. Listen, get excited about a girl or a guy who loves Jesus more than you. That's what you want. I'm serious. It's awesome. I'm so glad that my wife doesn't love me so much. She loves Jesus most. I'm down there somewhere, I don't know. Well, now we have grandkids, so I think I'm bumped down to number 5 or something. Maybe 6. Wouldn't change it for anything in the universe, friends. It's a wonderful way to live. To be led by the Spirit of God. It's not by emotions, not by what you feel or think, but by the sure, steadfast foundation of God's word. And the reason why church is important is not because of membership. Remember, you can't become a member here. I love saying that. Oh, you're just saying this to make people members. We don't have membership. You don't sign up. If you love God, show up. Here's the deal. Is this. Deciding to follow him because he is who he is. It's not that you go to this church or that church. It's irrelevant. But the joy, the power, the freedom is knowing him and knowing that he knows you. And when he leads you, it is a constant dynamic of a Christian life. You've heard me say it 1,000 times, but if your Christianity is not on the radar and or boring, you're doing it wrong. That doesn't mean you're not anything else. God has called you to do and to be what your occupation or career is. Do it, and do it the best. Would you be the best at it? If you're a professor, be the best at it. Follow Jesus, stay away from wokeism. If you're a surgeon, please be good at it. Listen, I was in an Uber yesterday and I was beginning to wonder. I don't know if he's afraid of death, the way he's driving this car. And then by the time I got to my destination, I thought I better give him 5 stars and a tip because he might turn around and run me over if I don't give him a good one, you know? But we don't need to be intimidated like that, to be led by the Spirit of God. Psalm 32, verse 8 tells us, I will instruct you, God says. How's that? I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. Imagine a father or a mother saying this to a child or a graduate. Hey, son, daughter, God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. God says, do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near. God says, don't be like a donkey. Don't do that. I want to lead you with my eye. What a beautiful thing. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture, I love this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And my atheist friends always jump in and say, that's what's wrong with you. We tell you we don't believe in God or the Bible, and then when you argue for God and the Bible, you use the Bible to argue for God and the Bible. You're so foolish, it's ridiculous. Oh, well, then let me hear your explanation as to how things became and what life is for. And then they start talking, and when they start talking, don't interrupt them. It's a beautiful sight to behold. You might film them if you get out your phone or put your phone in your pocket. Just turn it on. And record your atheist friend tell you how the universe began and how it all came into being. And when it's all done, reach out and shake their hand and say, man, I commend you. I don't have that level of faith. You got so much faith, that's huge. That makes my faith look like a little pea. You got like basketball faith. That's amazing. Because that was the nuttiest story I've ever heard in my life. You got to admit, it's like, wow, really? You believe that? It's easier to believe that in the beginning God created. Listen, the Bible says of the Bible that it's the word of God. It's not a self-fulfilling argument. It's a statement of fact, which means this. I love it. The Bible says it's written by God. You criticize it, but the statement is still true. It means this. Bible says this. Prove me wrong or prove it wrong. The Bible says this. Prove it wrong. God makes a statement. Listen, first verse of the Bible. If you get past Genesis 1:1, it's all downhill. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. After that, the Bible says what it says. If you don't like it, then explain it away. But the very laws that God has given, logic, reason, have to be employed, and you know that. And that word of God that he's given is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What an awesome, beautiful truth.
This Jack Hibbs podcast, as well as all the broadcast outreach opportunities, are listener supported. Will you consider partnering with us through a special gift? Go to jackhibbs.com to learn more and stay connected.